Darren Bailey, the Republican farmer from downstate Illinois, used my favorite word in his debate with billionaire Democrat Governor J.B. Pritzker. The word? Chumbalone.
Chumbalone.
Every time I look at Pritzker, people suck up to them.
Chumbalone.
Him, I think of that word, chumbalone. And Bailey pronounced it perfectly.
Chumbalone.
Chumbalone. Not chumbaloney. Chumbalone.
Chumbalone.
What does it mean? As Bailey told voters, as he described the failing city of Chicago as Pritzkerville, the word chumbalone means idiot or fool.
Chumbalone.
Bailey is no chumbalone. He's a farmer from Xenia, Illinois. And he doesn't want the people of Illinois to be chumbalones either.
Chumbalone.
But it's perfect for my purposes. I saw the word used in person directly once in a big Chicago mob trial when the Chicago Outfit's cop messenger boy, Anthony Passiafume from Chinatown, who changed his name to Tuan Doyle so that he could become a Chicago cop and become Irish, was called to testify in the Outfit federal case known as Family Secrets. The Outfit wanted to get rid of evidence in the mob murders of mobster brothers Michael and Tony Spilotro. And Tuan Doyle Passiafume was on the witness stand trying to explain what he was doing in that FBI recording, that conversation with Chinatown boss Frank Calabrese. Calabrese was all about hurting witnesses and using cattle prods on witnesses. And throughout the conversation, Tuan kept nodding and agreeing. And from the witness stand, and I was there 20 feet away, the lawyer asked Tuan, "Why did you keep agreeing? Why were you agreeing to this?" Tuan responded, quote, "I don't want to look like no chumbalone, like an idiot," said Tuan Passiafume Doyle. And just then, the Chicago word became a Chicago legend.
Chumbalone.
For today, here's the thing. For years now, I've been giving out the Golden Mutza Award, which is handed out to morons, idiots, chumps, and chumbalones. We use it to fight the idiocracy. But what about those people who resist the temptation? They don't want to be idiots, fools, stupid, chumbalones. Don't they deserve an award too? I can't give Tuan Doyle an award. He got 12 years in prison. Yeah, it's tough, isn't it, Tuan? I think he's out now. But how about a No Chumbalone Zone Award? We can give it to those people who are of independent mind and who fight the idiocracy. Today's guest, longtime Chicago newsman Charles Thomas, now a political consultant, is No Chumbalone.
Chumbalone.
And he wins the first No Chumbalone Zone Award for calling out J.B. Pritzker, for calling out Pritzker for how he treats minorities in Illinois, particularly black voters, from the Safety Act to failed education where the children still can't read or do math at grade level, to Pritzker's promise to cut black business people in on Pritzker's legal cannabis gravy train. Remember that? Where are those legal cannabis dealers? Where are those black dealers? JB? All of that failed. Yet because he calls Pritzker out on that and so many other things, Thomas, an independent thinker, is being vilified by white leftist and liberal reporters. What? Oh, yeah. Charles Thomas is straying off the plantation, and these white liberal journalists are going to spank him back on the plantation. I don't think he's going to go. But you remember what Malcolm X thought of white liberal journalists who acted like that? Oh, you don't? Well, you'll hear about it today. And co-host Jeff Carlin is here as always, longtime producer at WLS Radio and WGN Radio, the master baker, future physics teacher, friend of cats, husband to the lovely Christine. And I'm John Cass, husband, father, Greek Orthodox Christian, husband to the lovely Betty, editor-in-chief of your favorite news site for independent common sense, John Cass News. Subscribe today. And where are you? With the politicians filling the air with their screams and shrieks just days before the November 8th election, and you feel like you've got to wear a hat to keep it out of your hair? With another heavyweight fight, the main event, the race for mayor of Chicago underway, and there'll be more white reporters telling more black people how to think. And if they don't think the right way, they're going to get spanked. And then the reporters will ask, why don't people want to read our stuff?
Chumbalone.
So where are you with all that happening? You're in the No Chumbalone Zone with Charles Thomas, Jeff Carlin, and me on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
You know, I do think I learn quickly, and while being in Chicago, I've picked up on some of the lingo, and one of the words that I've found that was used many years ago is the word chumbalone. It means lacking common sense. It pertains to the people who are being duped by their elected officials. But in this case, I believe the elected officials are the fools here, because J.B. Pritzker, Lori Lightfoot, and Kim Fox, well, they're the chumbalones of Chicago. They're responsible for the crime, the corruption, and the chaos that exists today, and it's got to change.
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
The Chicago Way. That's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
As I promised, Charles Thomas spent 25 years or more in Chicago journalism as the political reporter for WLS-TV Chicago, ABC affiliate here locally. And all that time, as I was working at City Hall and as political writer and as columnist in this town, I noticed that this guy's a tough guy, okay? He doesn't take bleep. He stands his ground. He gets in your face. Don't treat him like a fool. But here's what's going on now. We've got a lot of white liberal journalists trying to treat this man like a fool. He endorsed and said kind things about Darren Bailey. And immediately he's criticized. So that's why I just sent Jeff Carlin a Malcolm X tape, which I want to talk about. But also welcome Charles Thomas to the Chicago Way. Hey, Charles.
Hey, thanks a lot, John. You know, you said I was there 25 years. I was actually there 30 because I worked in the Midwest Bureau of ABC News since the mid-80s. And I was assigned here in Chicago, and I worked in the same building as ABC 7. And in 1991, I came over and worked locally for ABC 7 because I was tired of the network traveling that a network correspondent has to do. So I've had a lot. I was in Chicago during the last part of the Washington years, all of the Sawyer years, and then of course Mayor Daley's long run when of course you were there working at City Hall.
Well, the last years, the last days and and weeks of the Washington era, we saw a terrible manipulation of the public will and the public heart by the left, which positioned Tim Evans as the spiritual son of Harold Washington.
Number one, they went from a partisan election to a nonpartisan election, which basically said to black voters that, no, you will no longer control a Democratic primary, and you're going to have to go through this runoff situation.
The Democrats did this.
The Democrats did this. They did this.
Right.
And they knowingly did it. They also took over the Chicago public schools at that time, which has not worked out well for black residents.
Yeah.
They did a lot of things, and they've been continually doing them for the past, what is it now, 25, 30 years?
Yeah.
They've been doing these things over and over again, and black voters don't get it. They haven't gotten it because I don't think they've had the proper education about
it. Well, some have, and some have, and you have, and that's why you stood up. I mean, in the popular popular cartoon-like history, cartoonish history, I refer to the to Roots, you know, that the documentary where the where Kunta Kinte is beaten, he keeps escaping, and he's finally hamstringed, right? They cut his hamstrings.
They cut his leg or something like that.
And what we have now is if a black man steps off the Democratic political plantation.
Oh, I love that. I love
they're
that.
Immediately,
that's beautiful, man.
Thank you, man. That they call me a writer. And they immediately, you're immediately like, I don't know, hamstrung.
Yeah.
You're called someone who can't think for himself. You're called a tool of the man, if I want to use 1960s slang. And you're basically mocked, just as your former colleagues from WOS, Andy Shaw and Mark Giangreco, mocked you for doing this political piece and ad for Darren Bailey.
Well, first, understand that for the past 3 years, I have had a political consultancy. I mean, I'm a political consultant. I have other clients. And those clients include Democrats, but I've never worked in a campaign before. And that's what I'm doing differently now. That whole notion of the Democrat plantation is so perfect. And let me explain it. What happens is the party promotes these black elected officials.
Yeah.
They are basically, they do the party's bidding as opposed to the bidding of their constituents. And they do it for this, you know, $100,000 or whatever it is that they get every year, their paychecks. And these are their jobs. If you notice that black elected officials, they aren't attorneys or doctors or do some other involved in some other profession or business. This is what they do. And they do it for the party, as opposed to the constituents. Mm. Then the Democratic Party in Chicago and Cook County, they have this network of nonprofit social services agencies allegedly serving the black community. The founders of those nonprofits are styled as black community leaders who support the Democrats in office by not criticizing them so that they will continue to receive those state grants. That's why you either hear from them in support of these Democrat politicians, or they just don't say anything, that when they know that this cycle of dependency continues. So this is how they keep people on the plantation.
Well,
I ran off. I absolutely ran off because, and I was able to run off.
Send the hounds after him.
Right.
Well, yeah, the Twitter bark, the barking Twitter dogs. I think that's what I called them when I responded to Mark Giangreco, who called me a sellout. I'll get to that in a minute. But the barking Twitter dogs are chasing me. And I wrote in my reply to his tweet, "Run, Charles, run," because I'm going to the river. And if any of you all want to come with me, come with me. And that's what I'm saying to black voters in Chicago and Cook County. Let's face it. What has the Democratic Party done for you lately? Look at your schools. Look at your neighborhoods.
Well, can kids read at grade level?
Yeah, they can. Right. And the Democrats control everything.
Right. That's the thing.
You cannot blame Donald Trump or a Republican for what's happening to the public schools in your area. I'm not just talking about Chicago. You can go to Harvey. You can go to Maywood. You can go any places where black people live and are concentrated. It is a horrible, horrible situation. So I want people to wake up and understand who's doing this to you.
Yeah.
Your taxes.
Children can't do the math. The kids can't do the math at grade level. They can't read at grade level. Their homes, particularly in the south suburbs.
Oh, my gosh.
Welcome to come to St. John, Indiana, right across from the south suburbs.
Well, check it out.
Because we have low taxes here, you know?
I've had clients in the south suburbs doing political stuff. That's where I work with a lot of Democrats.
Yeah.
And people in places like Matteson, Illinois, which is a beautiful community, but they are paying more in property taxes than their mortgage principal and interest. More in property tax. Their property tax bill can easily, in Matteson, Illinois, on a $400,000 house, be $18,000, $20,000 a year.
I'm not making
this up. Res Publica did the big investigation. Did I get their name right?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, they did a big investigation that basically documented that you're paying more than a black homeowner in a place in the south suburbs is paying more in property taxes than a white homeowner in Winnetka, given the value of their home, because you can't sell your house in Matteson because the taxes are too high.
I'm having trouble processing not only Chumba Loan and what they did to you, but also, the Democrats control the Cook County, right? They control Cook County government. The head of it is Boss Preckwinkle, Boss Tony. But guess who has to come out and explain that your property tax bills are going to be late? They send the Greek lady, Maria Pappas.
Oh, yeah, Maria.
What? Come on, Maria. Why are you taking a beating? You're like the whipping girl, you know?
But why are those bills being issued late?
Right.
Because they don't want for the election. Come on, folks.
Yeah.
Listen to how they're scamming.
Wake up, you chumbalones.
Wake up. That's all I'm asking my people to do is to wake up. And this was put in such a graphic reality in the cannabis deal.
Where
JB sat there in front of you and said, "We're going to have equity, equity, equity," whatever that is. And black people got nothing. That ad has opened a nerve. I'm telling you, man. You wouldn't believe how they're coming. They're coming at me. They're coming at me on that one. I mean, they're really coming at me.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the one that's really uncovered the wound. The scab is gone now. I mean, it's a bleeding wound again. Because of that ad that we put on that pointed out what he did on this cannabis piece. He denied black people generational wealth. There should be at least 15 to 20% of those stores should be owned by African Americans. But now they got this what they call social equity movement where they're going to let black homeowners, they're going to give them preference. Well, yeah, we get to open a cannabis store in Roseland. How'd you like to do a cash business down there?
Yes.
Right? No, I wanted black people should have had a
shot. I want one in Highland Park, man.
Yeah, Skokie, Northbrook, Northside.
Where the Bucks are.
Yes, exactly. But Hinsdale, we got
Western Springs, where John Cass used to live. Yeah.
Basically, JB is this is apartheid. That's all. That's what JB is sponsoring. Apartheid for black people.
Apartheid.
Point that out. I point that out, and I'm the bad guy. I'm the bad guy.
Well, Charles, I'm so glad you're here, too. I mean, your history tells us everything. I mean, the idea that people you've seen this firsthand, you have a perspective that let's be frank and honest. Majority of people in reporting and media in this city do not have that perspective, meaning, you know, most of them look like me or John. And then
wait a minute.
Well, I mean, hey. And
I'm not a ginger with freckles, man.
But you hit it on the head earlier. We kind of got to the point, and John gave me this clip a little earlier. But The idea that, and John and I have talked about this forever, that you know, the geography shouldn't be the differential. If you look at Matheson and you look at, you know, look out west in the suburbs up by where I grew up, the property tax rates are the same. They're paying just as much, but look what they're getting for their money, right? I mean,
but keep in mind that. The Democrats,
right,
under Madigan, Burke, Cullerton, Berrios, all these guys involved in the tax game, right? Mm-hmm. They reduce the taxes on the rich guys, and that, of course, makes them flow out to the rest of us who have to pay the taxes on our homes, because Madigan would finagle some skyscraper downtown to reduce their tax. You know that scam. You guys have talked about that quite a bit over the years, but those are your Democrat Party leaders,
right?
Who are the ones who are in the tax scam, and I'm just pointing it out,
That's the thing that the idea is that you've been. It's not that, you know. And to be frank, Charles, you're working for Dan Prof's PAC. You're not working directly for Bailey.
Not at all.
And so you're working against principle because you've seen what one party rule has done. You've seen what one party promising the sky to one group and giving it behind their back to the other group has done for all these years. And so that's the reasoning. People want to say, oh, you know, Charles turned to the dark side. He's a conservative or he's a Trumpist or whatever the crap.
That's not it.
You just said the wool pulled back from behind your eyes. You've seen what's going on. But speak to that, Charles, because you've known Dan for a long time. Okay. And it's not like Dan just came to you with a bucket full of cash and said, hey, I need somebody who people respect to get my message heard. You know Dan. You know what Dan's been about. And
he wouldn't have come to Charles otherwise.
Well,
he only came to him because he's got the intellect.
Right. Well, but people want to make that saying that he sold out because he ran for the money. That's not what this is.
Well, here's the play. Now, as a political reporter, I had to work both sides of the aisle. And believe me, there were assholes on both sides.
People.
But there were good people on both sides. And I met many of these people who were Republicans who were good people.
Yeah.
I know they're good people. I connected with Darren Bailey as a Christian. I met a God-fearing man, a prayerful man, a man who, like me, tries to be the best Christian we can be. I connected with the guy that way. A few weeks later, because Darren Bailey and I had this connection, Dan called. And he said, well, would you support him for governor? I said, absolutely, I would support a guy like that for governor, who I would trust not to lie to people, not to abuse people or manipulate a situation. That's where Darren Bailey comes from. He's a school board president. That's how he made his bones in Clay County. Then he and his wife opened a Christian school because they thought that their children in their community could get a better education that way. I most of what Darren said to me, and I say most, not all, I agree with him on those issues.
But Pritzker's twisting it every minute.
Oh yeah,
he's making it sound like he's like a snake dancing.
Yeah,
racist. You know,
a Klansman or Nazi or something. I mean, come on, this guy is a farmer. That's what he does. His dad was a farmer. He's a farmer. His sons are farmer. They're in the agribusiness. They are not wealthy. I've heard the Tribune describe him as a wealthy farmer. Well, I mean, he owns a lot of land. I'll give him that. But the WBEZ did a story on his tax returns. I think he made a couple of hundred thousand dollars one year and $180,000 another year.
He's got a good accountant.
You can't buy a garage in JB's neighborhood for $200,000.
You and can check it can out. You can buy toilets out of it.
Wait a minute.
Right.
Wait. Yeah. I call the point of personal privilege on JB's behalf. But, how much does it cost to buy toilets in JB's neighborhood?
I know, but I mean, it's. Look, man. One of your greatest hits is Commodius Maximus. I've told you that, right? But yes, I mean, here's a guy. How could a guy who's billionaire try to save $200,000 on taxes? You got to be greedy
and then
for
blame
that.
His wife.
Greedy. And
then have his wife wear the jacket.
Yeah, right.
But you got to be greedy. It's like the people who are greedy. What do? They eat too much. They do just greedy stuff.
They project.
And the man is greedy. And he's a horrible politician. For him to do that cannabis deal and not understand that people like me were going to be pissed.
The temptation is Andy Shaw, who ignores the fact that his son-in-law, Christopher Hayes, is a caddy for socialist Rachel Maddow on NBC. And Gian Greco ignores the fact that his bro, Gian Greco, is like a Democratic political operative.
Oh, yeah, he gets a lot more than $50,000 a week. In defense of the Gian Greco brothers, those guys are hardcore hockey players, and that puck flies around and it can hit you in the head.
I don't know. Greeks don't play.
Neither of those guys are the brightest bulbs on the tree. Believe me, the Gian Greco brothers, you know, part of me sympathizes with them. And now Ron Majors is another one who chimed in on
that. He's
talking about my ethics.
Yeah.
Ron Majors, again, he's horse another player. Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Horse player, a guy who can read a teleprompter really well. But everything I said on television, I wrote. And neither of those guys, speaking of Mark and Ron, they haven't worked in the industry as the level of professionalism that I had to meet when I worked for ABC News back when ABC News was something. They never came to worked on
Mark,
that level.
Didn't Mark have some issue with a black colleague?
I mean, the Cheryl Bird. And you know what?
And now he's using you to cleanse himself.
And right. I was Come one on. Of the people who defended him during that period. Because I know what he's like. I know his personality. But I didn't realize he was so engrossed in this liberal think that he would attack me?
Listen, this guy? Charles, I want to remind people we're speaking to Charles Thomas, longtime veteran political reporter for WLS-TV Channel 7 Chicago. He stood up for himself and for black people who don't want to be on the Democratic political plantation, and immediately was vilified by the entire Chicago media, by the entire press corps, as someone who was out of control. You know, the guy who sucks up to the lobbyists in Springfield put you on his blog. You were a terrible person. Everyone was saying you're a terrible person. But before we continue, I want to set up this audio from a guy who had similar problems with the white left, and people keep forgetting about him. And those who profess to talk about black politics, they forget about him. And Jeff has the audio lined up. His name was Malcolm X.
Yeah, Charles, I mean, we kind of led us to this in serendipitously about the discussion about the Washington era and in the post era, and how it was this idea that these leaders were selling out their own people for a little bit of tokenism. And Malcolm X, you know, he nails it on the head with this clip.
That white person that you see calling himself a liberal is the most dangerous thing in the entire Western Hemisphere. He's the most deceitful. He's like a fox. And a fox is always more dangerous in the forest than the wolf. You can see the wolf coming. You know what he's up to. But the fox will fool you. He comes at you with his mouth shaped in such a way that even though you see his teeth, you think he's smiling. Mm.
No wonder they killed him, huh? They
had for sure. Yeah, right. They had to. Because, you know, that was the truth. And the one thing that the Democrats, whatever they say to you, believe the opposite. That's what they're doing. They blame you for what they're doing. When I'm talking about misdeeds and mismanipulation, they blame you. They are the ones who are not Democratic. Why do you attack me because I have an opinion? If it's that's not Democratic. That the basic building block of democracy is free speech, the First Amendment. And they want to deny me speech? I'm not a reporter right now. I'm a political consultant. Right. I have a business. I can do what I want. I should be able to do what I want, but not be called a sellout. Who did I sell out?
Yeah.
Tell me who I sold out.
You sold out. You did sell people out, Charles. You sold out those who would want to trick black people into being chumbalones.
Absolutely. Okay? And you sold out too, pal.
Oh, yeah. I sold out, definitely. Listen, do not be a chumbalone. Chumbalone is what Anthony Passiafume wanted to be a Chicago cop, so he changed his name to Anthony Doyle and hid the evidence that the FBI was looking for in the murders of the Spilotro brothers.
Well, definitely one of the best takeaways from the baby Pritzker.
So he's on the witness stand, and he's nodding, and they're showing a tape of him nodding his head. Frankie Calabrese Sr., the Chinatown boss, wants to take a cattle prod to witnesses, you know, with electricity, and Tuan Doyle, this fellow is nodding his head. Yeah, of course. Yeah. You know, doing that. And they asked him on the witness stand, why were you nodding? Why were you agreeing to the boss who was talking about torturing witnesses with a cattle prod? And he said, I didn't want to look like an idiot. I didn't want to look like some chumbalone. And so that's therefore we're going to have an award called the No Chumbalone Award. And I give it the first award, if he can pronounce the name properly, to Charles Thomas.
Chumbalone. I accept the award.
You are not. No, you have to say, I'm not a no Chumbalone zone. Say it, Charles.
No Chumbalone zone.
There it is.
Perfect.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. So, okay. In retrospect, and we've put all this together, the media coming down on you the way they have other, and I don't even know what your politics are. You say you're Christian. Okay, fine. That's cool. Whatever you want. But Glenn Lowry and others have been vilified for being black conservatives. I noticed that Thomas Sowell, Jason Riley, Jason Whitlock, they're constantly harangued and beaten up by these racist chicks on MSNBC. And people nod their head, but they would not nod their head if, say, if white conservatives were throwing disparaging crap at black people. They would not. They wouldn't agree. They wouldn't allow it, but they allow this. Why? Why?
Man, I agonized over this for really the past several years. I wasn't a liberal. I kind of would watch this MSNBC stuff and CNN and kind of go, whoa, wow. And I could see that there was something askew here in how these people were talking, and particularly when they would get involved in this anti-Trump rants, and nothing would come of it.
Right.
Nothing would come of it. And I go, well, wow, what was that about? And they did it two or three times, and it became, well, apparent. It was always apparent, but it became more apparent that this was some part of a movement that I didn't really want to have any part of, because I understood journalism and I knew that what they were doing was it wasn't journalism. It was basically advocacy. And I didn't learn the business that way. I didn't learn the profession, I should say, that way. And so I kind of tuned it out. But I agonized over whether or not I should go public with something like that.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you're retired. You got 8 grandchildren going on 9, and you got a beautiful life. You know, got a pension, actually, because when I started in the business, he actually had pensions.
Yeah.
And, you know, I said, I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. You know, I saved when I was working, and I'm doing fine. But when this opportunity presented itself, I said, man, partisan politics, do I want to do that? And I believe I was actually watching Jason Whitlock on television one night, and he talked about men having to stand up again and be men. And I said, whoa, man, talk about a challenge.
Yeah.
And I thought it through and I said, man, if men don't stand up, we're going to lose this country. We are going to lose this country if men don't stand up and talk some of the cultural stuff that the Democratic Party is de facto supporting. I'm not into that. And I don't believe most Black men are into that
drag queen and, library talks.
Yeah, like drag, I don't think queen, so. Drag queen library, man, or some of this pronoun nonsense, and this 59 different genders and all that. I mean, if I see you and I think you're a woman, I'm going to say yes, ma'am. Excuse me, ma'am. I'm going to do it now, and that's the way I'm going to. That's how I roll.
I'm thinking of those Black drill sergeants that used to run the United States military.
There you go. I mean, what can they do what they do?
And every neighborhood needed men like this to live in it, Black or white or brown or whatever.
And let me go one step further in terms of where I'm coming from and what would cause me to act one way politically or not. The major crisis that Black people face today is in the nuclear family.
Yeah.
We have men who are fathering children but not parenting them. It's my belief that every child born into this world should be parented by the male and the female who conceived that child. Now, I understand that's not going to happen every time. There are going to be problems, but that has to be the North Star again. And as long as we somehow try to avoid having that configuration of a nuclear family as the North Star, this country is going to have problems, because that's the basic building block of any society.
How dare you, sir, talk about things that white liberal, particularly the white liberal men who are so worried about pronouns, you know?
Yeah.
That you bring this up is indicator to me, and I don't want to be sarcastic, but indicative of why you're being attacked.
Yeah, if you want to do something for the Black community, instead of, you know, doing all these ads about, you know, wearing masks and all this kind of stuff,
right.
why don't we throw up billboards along 79th Street that talk about parenting? One of the biggest disappointments I had being a father.
Right.
Being a parent, though, they can father, but let's parent the children that we father.
Right.
One of my biggest disappointment with Barack Obama, is the fact that he did not use his role as a father and the bully pulpit to impress upon people, hey, you can be like me, you can father your children, parent your children the way Michelle and I do. No, I never saw those billboards along 79th Street or along Stony Island where that message was being given to people.
He came with it later in sort of like, let's do a program, you know?
And
it wasn't the same. Like, I wanted him to do that. I wanted him to do exactly what you're saying, to go and to talk about those homes where there is no father, and the kids are boy, particularly young men, where there are no father and no mother.
Right.
These boys The boys are growing up. I once said feral because they're pointing guns at each other and shooting each other and killing. Right.
Because they're being raised by the streets. I mean,
and I was vilified for that. Maybe I shouldn't have said feral. I didn't mean to offend anyone. I was trying speak up for the children.
You have to tell the truth at some point. I mean, when we look at those videos of people being attacked, that they're censoring, by the way, as much as they can, those young men who are perpetrating those attacks, we know who they are, but I would bet you, man, any amount that they all come from fatherless homes.
Yeah.
And that there is no one to tell them, man, if I did something like that, man, my father would beat my natural ass. Because I had a father at home. Yeah, I had him. He wasn't rich. He worked at the post office. But when I came home and if I did anything the slightest bit stupid, I knew I had to deal with him. So I didn't do anything stupid.
If you brought dishonor on your family name, you'd have to deal with him.
Deal with him.
That was a man protecting his family name.
Yeah.
And we don't have that anymore.
And speaking of kind of that idea, and it's really we've talked about this too, but if you call it out, if you call out the problems or shortcomings facing, you know, the Black community in Chicago, you know, I do it and we're called racists. You do it and you're called a conservative Trumper for some reason. And it's this idea that it's like, okay, so just pointing out the issues, the failed issues that are facing us, that makes you the bad guy. I mean, it's the same thing with this, like, Safety Act. Like, we call it, hey, the Safety Act's got problems. Well, you're a racist and you make people, you're just trying to scare white people that Black people are bad. Well, no, that's not the point at all. The point at all is that you're doing things without thinking about them, thinking about their consequences. And Charles, you and I talked about this before we got on air, but speak to kind of how that's changed a little. I mean, how media and things have kind of changed the way we even report anything, because it used to be you could report the facts, but now the facts have a bias, or facts are they're slanted. But in your career, and you've been out of the game since 2017, but you've seen these things happening with media and everything. How has this process changed, in your opinion, as being a reporter, with the impact of media, with the impact of the internet, with the impact of how everybody now has some sort of voice, whether it's right, wrong, or whatever?
There is extreme pressure right now on the so-called mainstream media. I mean, the major papers in most cities, that the television stations, the affiliated ones. I get most of my news off my phone. You know, I have
their sources, right?
So sources. And that's where I get my news. And I believe most people get their news these days from places other than the mainstream media. And because of that, circulations are going down. Viewership is going down on Channel 7, 5, 9 and such. So there's tremendous pressure on those news sources. So that they now are trying to market themselves to as large an audience as possible. In the case of the Chicago Tribune, and John, you probably know a lot more about them than I do, but I noticed that during the campaign, before the 26th campaign, the Tribune, which was always a center right, organ, if you will, suddenly I saw 7 people writing really pro Hillary Clinton stuff, and only one. It wasn't you. There was one guy who was sort of holding the fort for the Tribune. Then they moved you off the second page. Big message to the readership. Put you in the back, and now they have all liberal columnists. I don't read one conservative. I can't name you one conservative writing for the Chicago Tribune.
Charles, the paper is a joke.
A total
They talk about, okay, here's what gets me. They talk about crime. They talk about crime, then they endorse Tony Preckwinkle.
Mm.
They talk about crime, but then they endorse J.B. Pritzker. The people who are being killed and who are at most at risk by the Safety Act aren't the white leftists who are living in Wicker Park telling the Tribune what to do. The people who are threatened most by the release of violent criminals are black and brown people because they're the victims 90% of the time. But no one cares to, seems to care about them. This is like, let's ignore it because politics and power is what they care about. And it's thoroughly disgusting.
I saw the Tribune. Remember that in 2008 and 2016,
mm-hmm.
yeah, those both Obama's term and then Hillary running in 2016,
right?
That they were so-called favorite son, a favorite son and a favorite daughter. And mm-hmm. the Tribune at that point, I thought, was playing to the left because, you know, Hillary won 87% of the city's vote and most of the suburbs, and, you know, and so did Obama because they were local people. So I saw this Tribune begin to move in a direction for marketing purposes, as opposed to the public square. I mean, they started to, I think, lean that way because they wanted to play to what they figured was a groundswell of support for these two Democrat candidates. And they
Barack
started,
Obama, I'm sorry, was not. I wanted him to do more, and he disappointed a lot of black people in the city.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, maybe a lot more black people than even white people.
But yeah, oh, definitely, because they cleave to the idea of Barack Obama to protect themselves from the accusations that they hurl at others about racism. But March 17th, 2016, there was a column in the Chicago Tribune, and it was called "Hillary Can't Win," and it was written. Hillary Clinton will not be elected president of the United States.
I wonder why? Who wrote that.
Because she can't win that one. That's why. Oh, who wrote it? That's me. And that's how I sealed my fate with the lefties in this in the media with that one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they definitely. Totally adopted. They made Eric Zorn look like a moderate man. I would read, you know, Zorn hung on for a long time, but right. I started to read Zorn and I said, man, Zorn actually sounds reasonable now because these other people, they were just way off the hook. Now they don't have anybody listeners, on their roster who says anything.
Though if you say something, it might offend people. Eric Zorn, who he and I don't agree on anything, except the fact that apparently we both love that Goodnight Ladies episode segment in the
Full Metal Jacket.
No, it was Goodnight Ladies in The Music Man.
Oh,
pardon me, but that may be true or not. But Eric did question whether or not we were going to make, we meaning the media, was going to make a hero out of this budding young gangbanger in Little Village who ran through the alley with a gun and then turned around when the police officer, the poor guy had come from Iraq, combat veteran, and was almost crucified by Lori Lightfoot and the rest of them over it.
Adam Toledo case. And that's the case that Zorn wrote about too, and he got lit up by the
that's
left.
That's what Charles means.
I know, so right?
Lit up.
John, you've had later experience than I.
Yeah.
But who are the editors, man?
That's the point, Charles.
Who are the editors these days? I look at the news sometimes, network news, local news. Who are the editors? When I worked there, man, I gotta give Jennifer Graves, the news director at ABC7. She made sure that we had editors who watched what we wrote and we said, and we had balance. These days, I don't know who the editors are anymore.
They don't want to be known. And
well, they don't exist.
Look, we don't, there is no, the only people who write media criticism in Chicago, for years we had Michael Miner, who was basically a lefty, you know, was not basically, was a lefty with a pen. And the other one is was Robert Feeder, who covered it as if it was like celebrity gossip news.
Right, yeah.
The media is celebrity gossip news. But there was no, and oh, they loved him. They kissed his ass on the way out. But yeah. But even though they knew who exactly who he was and what he was. But there is no conservative media criticism. And I think that's what conservatives need, is a legitimate scholarly approach to not I don't like them because they say something that I don't like, but and like Joy Reid.
I don't know. I think Dan Proft's doing a pretty good job at being a conservative critic of the media landscape. But
yeah, but you know what? One other thing to note about the media landscape in Chicago these days is that there is absolutely no credible media source for the Black community. None. I mean, it's all gone. It's disappeared. You have WBON radio, which I think is bought and sold by the Democrats.
Yeah.
And then you don't have any real media. You have a lot of small people, a lot of small blogs and such, but there isn't that Chicago Defender anymore. That presence there that you had to run it by the Defender before you could, before you could really pursue the policy. There's nothing like that. And the Democrat Party, because of nobody watching, is running amok. And the fact that Dan Proft would underwrite somebody like me to go out there and basically speak truth, that just thoroughly blows him away, because I think they basically thought they had the Black media, or the fact that that Black people were in check because they had no media to tell them that not to vote for JB because he did this or he didn't do that.
Wait a minute.
They don't have that.
Didn't JB make a fool out of himself just a few years ago when the FBI tapes came out showing his racist commentary on Black people?
Yeah, because he's a racist.
If you're forced to put an African-American in the spot, which my guess is, you're not forced to do anything, but my guess is a lot of pressure to do it. Of all the African-Americans I can think that are sort of like qualified and people and vetted, and people will say, oh, that's a pretty good pick. The one that is least offensive and maybe gets you the most because it gets you that Secretary of State appointment is Jesse West. The one that is least offensive and maybe gets you the most.
So why is that ignored?
It's not. Don't worry. We got something planned for him. But remember that it happened in 2018, during the 2018 campaign. And Jesse White gave him a pass.
Right.
Well, I didn't. Well, he all right. My boss didn't mean it what he said. That kind of thing.
Jimmy DeLeo said it was okay.
Yeah. Jimmy DeLeo said it was okay. And then.
Don't be a chump alone, Jess.
I love that. D-DeLeo.
How you doing?
You roll that?
How you doing?
D-D-how you doing?
Well, Jesse always would say to me, we got along very well. He would always say, he would never say this publicly, but privately, he would say, hey, John, he'd just try to bust my chops a little bit. And he would say, Ime kalos mavros, and that meant I'm a good Black man. I'm a good Black. Like, racists say the Blacks, that kind of
thing. The Blacks, the lady in L.A.
Yeah, the lady in L.A. And he was making it, he was making a joke out of it. But I would say, I'd say to try to bust him back, I would say, Jesse, you're not Black. The states, the Illinois Secretary of State's office is Italian. Get it through your head. Don't be a chump alone.
Yeah, well,
who ran it?
Right.
Come on.
Well, what's his name? Emil Jones didn't think very much about JB's comment. No. Love to talk to him these days. I don't know where he is. I hear a lot about his son, but Not him.
He's got his troubles. But, you know, Emil, if you hear this, contact Charles Thomas, please.
Yeah, we'd love you guys would have a great lunch together.
Yeah,
we'd love to put him on a commercial, man.
There you go. Yeah. Well, Charles, Charles, it's been a blast to catch up with here. And I got to say, as you know, as a producer, someone who's on the other end of booking, you know, talent and stuff, Charles, you were always at the top of the list for pretty much every host I've ever had as far as political commentary or getting a breakdown. That, man. But you were always busy because, like you said, you wrote your own stuff. You were a busy man. So we didn't always get to tap you. But I got to ask you before we let you go, Charles, what you got lunch this afternoon with a source, someone, a client, somebody. Where are you taking him? Where's Charles go for lunch when he's going
to go to for the food? Depends on who I'm taking, you know.
Sure,
but
sure.
For the food, it's Alice's Barbecue. It's on 43rd Street. And
nice.
There's nowhere to sit in there to eat. You got to go out to the car, and it gets pretty messy. But Alice's Barbecue, 43rd Street. It's like 43rd in Indiana, thereabouts. And it's rib tips to die for.
All right.
I'm here.
And I'm telling you, keep your head on a swivel.
That's the thing. Do I have to have a stick at my side to get rib tips?
You gotta have an attitude when you go in there into Alice's. But I'm telling you, rib tips are the best. The tips are the best.
All right.
And they make them in one of those old smokers, the glass thing, you know?
Yeah, the aquarium smokers. It's too smoke.
That greasy on the outside, but man, Alice can throw down. And you gotta get the tips.
We should do a whole piece on that.
And the mini tips.
The aquarium smoker is a real smoker, unlike the gas smokers. If I see some rib master talking about his ribs, and then I see it's a gas smoker, I'm like, I'm out of here. I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm done with you.
Well, Charles, thanks a billion. And if anybody wants to, you know, catch up with you or follow you, Twitter, good spot. Anywhere else you want to point people?
Yeah, we got a podcast too on Mark Wallace and I get together every Monday night at 7 on Intellectual Radio, and we argue. You know, I mean, I come at it from the right, he comes at it from the left, and people like it, I guess. But you know, I don't know how much progress we're making on changing people's minds and hearts, but that's what we do on Monday night at 7 on Intellectual Radio.
All right. We'll check it out.
I'm going to be there because I don't want to watch Justin Fields get his ass kicked again.
Oh, man. Isn't that a mess? Man, they just can't get it right.
They should never have drafted this kid. I mean, he should have gone to a real good team. He's being destroyed here.
Poor kid.
I don't know. I don't think he can see the field. I mean, you know, other guys can't.
As soon as he gets the ball in his hand, he's running for his life.
Exactly.
You can see it.
And they're blaming the line. I don't know that you can really blame the line.
Oh, yeah,
I just don't think he's – I think he's running anyway.
Have Walter Payton run him up 40 times a game and let his knees go to hell and save Justin Fields' life.
That guy Montgomery, I like him.
He's getting beat up, you see? He can't hardly make it through the season. All right, Charles.
All right, guys. Hey, look, man, you guys take care. Keep doing what you're doing. We're going to win this thing. We're going to save our city, save our state, save our country.
Well, one thing I know, Charles, you are the first winner of the No Trouble Alone Zone Award.
Thank you, my friend. Remember
congratulations,
that.
Congratulations, though, Trumbull. All right.
All right, man. Take care.
For Charles Thomas, 30-year veteran of Chicago media, political reporter for WLS and the network, trying to deal with the fact that white liberals don't like black people thinking for themselves. And for Jeff Carlin, WGN executive producer, who's always thought for himself, always thinking of new pies to make and new trying to get another cat past Christine and have more cats in his house than I can't even count them all. And for me, John Cass, husband, father, Greek Orthodox Christian, and editor-in-chief of JohnCastNews.com, your favorite place for common sense opinion.